Are you a speech language pathologist or occupational therapist who is feeling the squeeze of high caseloads and limited support? Wondering if maybe private practice is the answer? Well, let's talk about it. Join me for a free training on May 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we will explore what it really takes to leave the schools and start your own private practice in 2024. We're talking about the ability to have a flexible schedule, choose your own clients, create your own caseload cap, and uncap your earning potential by leaving salary ladders and scales behind so that you can finally earn what you're worth. Join me for a free training on May 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we will explore what it really takes to leave the schools and start your own private practice in 2024. We're talking about the ability to have a flexible schedule, choose your own clients, create your own caseload cap, and uncap your earning potential by leaving salary ladders and scales behind so that you can finally earn what you're worth. Don't just dream about having better work-life balance. Make it your reality by starting your own private practice. To register, just head on over to privatepracticetraining.com right now and sign up, and I'll see you there. Martha Boyard is a bilingual pediatric speech-language pathologist with a mobile private practice in Miami, Florida. She started her private practice in 2020 after becoming a mom and wanting the flexibility to spend more time with her family. I've gotten to know Martha during her time in the Grow Your Private Practice program, and it has been incredible to watch her growth and find more balance as a parent and private practitioner. In this episode, she talks about how she went from working for a private practice to owning her own. She also talks about how starting her private practice gave her the flexibility and freedom that she needed as a parent to care for her own children while continuing to serve the needs of children in her community. And she discusses the importance of parent coaching and her future plans to offer a support group for her clients' families. If you've been thinking about starting a private practice in order to have more flexibility in your life, this is a must-listen episode, so stay tuned. I'm Jenna Castro-Casbon, speech-language pathologist, business coach, and creator of the Start Your Private Practice system. And I'm on a mission to turn stuck SLPs into successful private practitioners. If you're tired of dealing with high productivity requirements, high caseload sizes, and low pay, it's time to take control of your professional, personal, and financial life and finally get the freedom, flexibility, and financial abundance that you deserve by working with private clients in your own practice. Join me here each week as I share tips, best practices, and inspirational interviews on the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. If you're a private practitioner or one in the making, you're in the right place, so let's get started. So before we dive in, can you please share your name, your location, and the name of your private practice?
Hi, I'm Martha Boyard. I'm in Miami, Florida, and my private practice is Miami Speech Therapy.
I am so excited to do this with you. Martha, we have gotten to know each other pretty well through my programs, but I would love to know, can you please share about the beginning of kind of like your career and how you found your way to private practice?
So I'm going to go a little bit far back here, but like as an undergrad, I was doing a lot of research in developmental psychology. I was working in a developmental psychology lab and got really interested in learning about developmental disorders and things like that. And then through that, found the field of speech language pathology and started working as an assistant and fell in love, absolutely in love with the field. Fast forward, I got my master's degree in 2010 and I started working at a private practice. I was working full time. I had 4 10-hour days and my life was very clean start and end time, that it was fantastic. I had no intention of ever changing that. I had my 3-day weekends, my 4 10-hour days. It was fantastic. And then my son was born. So I became a mom, which is my absolute favorite job. And after I became a mom, my priorities started shifting and I realized that life is not so black and white. And there are some times where we need a little bit of flexibility and we need our mindset to shift because not every day is the same as I was so used to having before that. So then I decided to become a contractor just so that I could work on my terms. And that's how Miami Speech Therapy was born. It was born out of the necessity to gain that flexibility around having to care for my son and things like that. So about 5 years into Miami Speech Therapy being just a contract-based practice, if you will, we went into the COVID lockdown, of course. And so the pandemic made everybody's priority shift. Suddenly, I was home all the time and all of the therapy was being done on Zoom for the first couple of months. And so it didn't matter who I was contracting for because it was all on Zoom. So rather than being at one practice for a morning and then at another practice in the afternoon, things kind of started getting mixed. And when things started getting mixed, I started doing a little less from one practice and a little more on my own. And when things opened up and I became able to leave the house and go do home visits and things like that, my schedule was pretty much set. And then I transitioned into being a fully self-reliant mobile private practice. And it has been that way since, I guess, 2020.
Oh my gosh. I love that story. And I love how you talked about how your priorities changed once you became a parent. And I think that so many SLPs and OTs either are parents or are maybe planning to be parents. And even if you're not a human parent, we've got lots of people who are dog and cat parents who want that flexibility.
Sure.
But people's priorities do shift when they become parents. And certainly all of our priorities shifted when COVID happened, right? So,
absolutely.
So can you share a little bit about before COVID and everything else, like what were the kind of early days of your practice? You mentioned being a contractor and everything else, right? What were those early days of your practice like, even back when you were a contractor?
They were a bit hectic. So one of my contracts was at a private practice that was an hour away from my house. So I was having to drive an hour to go to that practice and work there for a couple of hours. Well, it was more than a couple of hours, but, and then drive back to then do some home visits in the evening. And the reason why I drove so far is because it was a practice that also offered me childcare. And I needed it at the time because childcare was hard to come by for me. I didn't have extended family that could help and daycare costs are astronomical. So it was kind of the best of both worlds where I could have my son in the same building as me while also I worked at the same time. And it really supported my family in that way. And at the time, that was my number one priority, how I could continue working while supporting my family, not just financially, but presently. So that was very hectic because I was doing a lot of driving and even more so than now. Like now I do home visits, but I'm not driving to another city. I'm driving within my local area. And it was a blessing because I was able to do the things that I needed to do at that time. But then it became cumbersome because I was driving with what eventually became my three children because time went on as we did all this. And so it was hectic and having to do all that driving and then come back and do home visits in the evening and then work some weekends as well, just to kind of sort of make sure that my children were always cared for.
Yeah. And that definitely sounds exhausting. And I know that when you're kind of just starting to build your business and like things are kind of going, you're willing to do all kinds of things, right? To get off the ground and to make sure that you have income coming in. But you're also willing to do all kinds of things for your children.
My motto became at the time, don't say no, just say yes to everything. And so everything that came my way, I said, yes. Oh, can you see a few clients for this practice? Yes. Oh, can you do some consultation for this practice over here? Yes. When I was just saying yes to everything. And the benefit of that is I got to know a whole lot of different management styles, which are really helping me now. It got me to learn exactly the kind of administrator I wanted to be, the kind of administrator I never wanted to be. Of course, those lessons come through. And it was, I don't know, it was a crazy time.
I really like what you said just now about like the kind of person that you want to be and the kind that you don't want to be, right? I think that no matter what kind of job situations any of us have had in the past, we've learned that, right? We've observed both good things and bad things. And I think that's one of the amazing things about private practice is that you get to decide, right? You're the boss. You get to decide what are the good things that you always want to do? And what are some like bad things that like you never want to do? Can you share with our listeners, and you don't have to throw anybody under the bus or anything, but what are some things that you want to instill in your private practice now that you are the boss?
Well, in that one practice where I was driving a whole city away to care for my children, the massive benefit I got from that practice is that we had an office where nobody was out to fight with each other. Nobody was out to disagree. It was a culture of community. And so one thing that I want to instill, and right now, Miami Speech Therapy is just me. I am looking to change that in the future. But one thing I want to instill is a culture of like, hey, we're just here to help the kids. And it was that practice was a big practice. So for a big practice to be able to have that culture of community and that family approach to our clients, then it was just a beautiful thing to see. And that really helped lay the foundation for me in, hey, I'm out here to help kids. I'm out here to help families, to help parents, because sometimes I do some coaching to it. So that was definitely something that I learned, that this is the SLP I want to be. This is the administrator I want to be.
All of those lessons that you've learned, you get to incorporate all of that kind of other stuff. I also want to just say that I know that you've been at this for a while because you have a great name for your practice, and you must have locked that up a good while ago.
Yeah. I mean, it's been 9 years since I set it up. So yeah, I'm very excited about it. I love my name. It's my favorite.
Okay. Our listeners may be curious, what kinds of clients do you serve through your practice?
Well, right now I take the entire pediatric population. I do a lot of birth to three, a lot of the early intervention population, but I also see some 18 to 20 year olds and everything in between. So I would say the biggest chunk of what I do are the little ones. Maybe 80% of my caseload is under five, but I have a 20 year old and I have 13 year old and I have a couple 9 year olds. So yeah, I have a good mix. I like to see children with speech delays. I like to see articulation cases. I am getting more and more comfortable with AAC cases where we have to supplement children's communication. Those are so much fun for me to learn about and to implement. Yeah, I mean, it's a mixed bag. I have a mixed bag of clientele, but I just absolutely love it. Every time I get stumped by something like, hey, I haven't seen this before, or I saw this a long time ago, I love learning more about it so that I can make myself better, because I like to be the one that you can go to and say, hey, I worked with this and I can help you out.
And I love that like go-getter attitude, right? Like just like how you like said yes to all the people and opportunities or whatever. You're like, I'm going to say yes to learning as much stuff about all of these different kinds of kids, because like our field is huge. Right. And there's
so bad. It's so bad. It's so bad. Yeah.
But I love that you're doing that.
Hi there. Jenna Castor-Casbon here. And I hope that you're loving the episode so far. Chances are you've been listening to this podcast for a while and soaking up a ton of information from myself and our guests. And it's time to make the shift from dreaming to doing and go from inspiration to implementation. Successful private practices don't build themselves. At The Independent Clinician, we help regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners using our proven systems. No more guessing, no more Googling, no more sleepless nights stressing about legalities. We can help you just like we've helped the guests featured on this show. They didn't guess or stress their way through private practice. Instead, they got step-by-step help along the way, and we're excited to help you too. If you need help to get set up and started with private clients on the side, the Start Your Private Practice program is perfect for you. If you've already started and you want to transition into full-time private practice and be successful once you're there, the Grow Your Private Practice program is your next step. To learn more about our programs, go to independentclinician.com. Now back to the episode.
You touched on it super briefly, but I'd like to ask you about the parent coaching. Is that something that you're starting to offer?
Yeah, I always do an ongoing parent coaching. Like I do, my treatment style is to work directly with my favorite treatment style, I should say, is to work directly with the child, but then consistently be explaining to parents like, hey, I'm doing this because this, this, and that. And you saw how so-and-so didn't react well to this. It's because of this, this, and that. And I love consistently communicating with families. And when I go to schools and things like that, where I'm not directly with the family, I'm always sending them summaries and things to tell them, hey, this is how we can carry it over. This is how we can practice it. And sometimes I even tell parents, we're working on this, this, and that, but I'm not ready to have you practice it yet because I want to tweak it just right before I have you practice. But I always love having open lines of communication with parents because it's the only way forward. It's the only way that kids get off my caseload so I can serve more children. So that is my favorite treatment style. But as far as your direct question about parent coaching, yeah, I am starting to do more parent coaching where the state of Florida's early intervention program, Early Step, which that I also contract with still, they're actually starting to require more of a coaching approach. So yeah, so I've had to learn again, different ways of doing a little bit more of a hands-off approach so that parents feel more comfortable supporting their children.
I love that. I think that there's such a market for that because, I mean, I'm a parent and parents have a lot of questions and parents like oftentimes go through things or their kids are going through things or whatever that they just don't quite know what's the best way to handle it. And as a parent, like we want to be great at this and we want to help our kids and whatever. So like leaning into professionals is so valuable for families. And it also, like Martha, for you and for lots of clinicians that I talk to, it really lights them up. Like it's a big part of what they love to do. And they feel like they're almost having more benefit sometimes working with parents who are going to like make sure that it's carried over sometimes and even the kids. So I think it's a great thing for you to offer.
Yeah. It's also like some of the feedback that I've gotten from parents more than anything. And one of the things that I think sets me apart from other clinicians in the area is that a lot of parents are telling me, I love this feedback. This is what I've been looking for. This is what I've been needing. And so it reinforces it for me that I'm on the right track. I have to keep doing this. I have to keep pushing forward, even when it feels a little bit uncomfortable because I'm so used to working directly with children. But when parents give me that feedback, and I'm getting it all the time now, I'm realizing, you know what, parents need more support than we were previously thinking. And so we've had to learn and relearn and unlearn different things in this field. And I'm so excited to be part of that process.
Yeah, totally. I also love that you talked about having a contract with early intervention through your state, right? There are some states that have a really seamless process for that, right? Or maybe not seamless, but you know, there's a way for individual private practice owners to contract. So like Florida is one of those states. California is one of those states. There's a whole bunch of other ones. Massachusetts, which is where I live, is not one of those states. But for if you live in a state that you can individually contract with early intervention, it can be a fantastic way to get referrals and to build your caseload, right?
Yeah. And it kind of sort of helps feed the rest of my business too, because it gives parents kind of the opportunity to get to know me for free because it's, well, not for free, but covered by their tax dollars. And then realize once their child turns three, if they still need services, like I've been fortunate enough to dismiss two children this week before they turn three. If they still need services by their third birthday, then hey, I'm here to help still. I haven't gone away. And so it gives them that buy-in at no cost.
Yeah. And then they get the continuity of like being able to, or they don't have to now go find someone else. Because my wife actually does early intervention. She's a physical therapist. But yes, there's some kids that are good by the time they're three. And there's many others that aren't. So now they got to go get on the wait list somewhere. Now they got to go figure out another solution or whatever. So if you can also provide that continuity of care, like that's invaluable for families. They would 1,000 times rather stay with someone who knows them, knows their child, knows the situation, than have to go restart with somebody else.
Yep. It happens all the time.
So what's coming next for your practice? What are some things that you would like to do in the next like 6 to 12 months or more that are like next steps for you?
I mean, one of the things that I've been sending out some feelers to my community is to see if anybody's interested in a support group so that I can continue that parent coaching, but also with the support of other parents who may be going through the same thing. Because I've gotten some feedback from a couple of moms recently saying, like, I would really like to meet someone else going through the same thing as me. And then, of course, I can't introduce them without their consent and all of that stuff. So I thought that this would be a nice and healthy way to have other parents meet each other. And so, yeah, I just, and also in the future, I'm looking to hiring administrative support for myself just so that I can have a little bit more time to myself and also a little more time to treat. And at the same time, hire maybe another therapist or two so we can serve more of the community, because I get a lot of interest for children who need services. You know, I'll be full, and so I have to add them to my wait list. And I hate doing that. I would love to be able to serve them up.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the idea of the support group. I feel like that there are not enough places for parents to connect. And again, they are hungry for that. And I know that you and I had talked about this before this interview, but when you can act as a facilitator and help like connect parents and whatever else, like, it is a very rich experience. I've helped professionally with several different, the Boston Brain Injury Support Group and a couple other support groups. And it's so nice when you are able to facilitate these relationships and conversations with parents. It's truly invaluable for them, and it gives a different depth of the therapy process. So I love that. And then I love what you're saying too about hiring. Just, you just want to serve more people, right? And if you're having to turn people away from your practice, you might as well think about firing, right? So that you can serve more people and generate more money for your practice.
Yeah, it helps the bottom line, that's for sure. Another thing I forgot to add before is that I started collaborating with an occupational therapy team in my community, and we're wanting to do some in-services for daycares and preschools in our community to help teachers identify areas of concern and who the right professional is to refer that child to, because sometimes you get the wrong referral. And it may be a child, oh, the child can't sit and pay attention, but that's not necessarily a speech issue all the time. So kind of sort of help educate the educators in our area.
Yeah. And you're collaborating with other professionals, which is always a good way to get referrals, right? So in that situation, you're collaborating with the occupational therapist, which is awesome, but you're also collaborating with daycares or schools or parent groups, whatever it is. And that's a great way to get more awareness of your practice and help more people.
Definitely. Yeah.
I love
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I'm so excited about it.
Well, I'm excited for you, Martha. I mean, I have gotten to observe you a bit, and I just know that you're doing amazing things for your community and also for your family. Before we sign off, can you please share, if anyone is listening to this interview and they're thinking like, I'd really like to do this, but I'm just not sure if private practice is right for me, or I'm not sure I've got kids or I've got X, Y, and Z reason, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that while it is definitely not easy, it is one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done. And just the flexibility that it has afforded me has been absolutely priceless. And I've spoken to clinicians in the community, PTs, OTs, speech therapists, who've always been a little unsure because they like the stability of the 9-to-5, which is great. There's nothing wrong with that. But I always tell them, hey, you know what? Start with one client and move forward. Just start with one. And then I know that's something you say all the time. So it just, I feel like if you want to do it, absolutely do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's people and community, there's kids, there's parents, there's adults, there's all kinds of people who really need our help. And so, listeners, if you're feeling called to help serve your community and also serve yourself and your own family, I think private practice is the way to do it. And Martha, you have done an awesome job And so if any of our listeners want to contact you or look at your website or anything, where would you tell people to go?
My website is www.miamispeechpx.com. My Instagram is Miami Speech Therapy, all one word, same for Facebook. And so, yeah, connect with me there. And I'd love to chat with others about it.
Awesome. And thank you so much for being on the show and for sharing your story, Martha.
And thank you for having me.
Okay. Don't you just love Martha? I love how she talked about how her priorities changed once she became a parent. She is a perfect example of someone who started her private practice in order to prioritize her family and have more flexibility in her life. If you would like to learn more about our programs and how we support SLPs and OTs just like Martha, who want our help to start or grow their private practices, please visit independentclinician.com. As always, thank you for listening, and please tune in next week for another episode of the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. Till then.
Well, this episode might be over, but we don't have to say goodbye. Head on over to independentclinician.com for resources that will help you at each stage of your private practice journey. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. Follow me and send me a DM. I'm at Independent Clinician. And if you're on Facebook, make sure that you join the SLP and OT Private Practice Beginners Facebook group. All right, off to help more regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners. Let me know if I can help you too.